for the backup. Because that's what happened for the first class. This, for some reason, didn't work, and I forgot to press the backup. So I will record the first class. Okay, so just to review from last week. Last week, we spoke about harchakos, right? And we spoke about then staining. Okay? So that now leads us up to, just to review for a second, the only time you should ever be Anita. Yeah?
And I heard from the recording about the black lining for panties.
Yes.
They do sell 7 Mile.
Really?
Yes, they do.
That's very good to know. Okay, let that be. Let that go online. Black panty liners at 7 Mile.
Yes,
interesting.
Where? Wow. Okay.
In the
that's
the
so
other stuff.
Interesting.
I mean, I did find.
What do you know?
There too.
Right. I'm just curious. I'm going to check it out. Because I've actually, I mean, especially when I learn with Kalas, I tell them about black panty liners, but I've never actually seen them. So I'm just really curious. Because I know they exist, but at 7 Mile, good to know. Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing that. Okay, there is a sign on the door, by the way.
Is there? Okay.
There is, and like, for the men to come in, it's just, it happened last week,
yeah,
and I paused. I don't know if anybody saw it. Like, I paused for a minute, and then, okay, but hopefully it won't happen again. Okay, fine. So now let's continue on. So what we spoke about last week, just to review for 1 minute, you are only Anita when you have a flow of blood from your uterus, okay? So once you follow all the halachos of staining, the only time you should ever consider yourself Anita is when you have a flow of blood from your uterus. Loosely defined, according to myself, I guess. What is a flow of blood? The minute you're putting on a pad or a tampon. Obviously, everybody's going to... It's really a personal feeling as to when you consider yourself to have a flow of blood, but if you know that you have to put on a pad or a tampon, that would be considered a flow of blood. Okay? So we're good. Right? Colored underwear all times, except for during your Shiva Nikiyam when you have to wear white all around. Okay. Good. So now let's go on. And we are going to talk about vestos today. Hey, how are you? We are just starting today. Yeah, out. Okay, so now, vestos, okay, for today's topic. We need to halachically anticipate our period, okay?
That's
going to
be interesting.
Oh, boy. Yes. Hi, girls. Hi, it's okay. Hi, how are you? When I know the person, it's challenging, right? Okay. So we are going to calculate when we halachically anticipate our period, and we're going to talk about when we halachically anticipate our period, what we can and what we cannot do. Okay? We're going to use the word the times, because hopefully they will overlap. So it's not that you have to halachically anticipate your period and it's going to fall out as three separate days. Hopefully it will overlap with each other, which it commonly does. But let's first talk about it. We're going to first learn about an irregular period, a veses she'eno kavu, which is the first one listed on the outline. And once we know the halachos of an irregular period, okay, sorry, I think there's a spelling error on that outline. But once we know, hi, how are you?
I guess my meeting is in here.
Once we know,
there's a lot going on today.
If I knew how to lock the doors, I would. But it's really that door that I feel that we need to really lock at this point. I don't think the swinging door locks. So, right? Okay. Once we know the halachos of an irregular period, by default we know the halachos of a regular period. Okay? Halachically to have a regular period, just before we talk about an irregular period, to have a regular period halachically, it's quite challenging. The reason being, even if you are controlling your period hormonally, it works out on the English calendar perfectly. But remember, when we calculate everything, we are using a Hebrew English calendar, because everything actually goes according to the Hebrew dates. So therefore, you need to always have for yourself, just obviously it should be private, because unless you care to share it with your whole family, you would just keep for yourself a personal Hebrew English calendar, because when we calculate everything, it will go according to the Hebrew dates of the month, okay? Therefore, to have a regular period halachically, it makes it much more challenging, because when it works out well on the English calendar, it does not coincide with the Hebrew calendar. It's going to all make sense in a minute, Judy. Okay? And the other thing to remember is that a regular period halachically is knowing the time frame. You don't have to know, oh, okay, I'm getting my period at 11:01 a.m., but you do need to know early morning, late morning, early afternoon, late afternoon, evening time. So that also makes it much more challenging, because even if you know the day you're getting your period, having an actual time frame makes it a lot more challenging. Okay, so now let's talk about the first thing. So you can use your calendar in front of you, because I think it makes it a lot easier. The first one we'll talk about is number 3 on the outline, Yom HaChodesh. You get your period. This is now going to be a little bit of a review and new stuff at the same time. Let's just say, being that I have it marked off from my colors, okay? If you have your, if you get your period on October 14th, the 28th of Tishrei, right? So, and you get it during the daytime, you would then mark off that you got your period during the day on October 14th, the 28th of Tishrei, okay? It's important to write down if you're getting your period day versus night, okay? So just a review, if you count 5 days, day one being the day that you got your period, count 5 days, it brings you to Thursday. If you are clean come Thursday, that's when you're going to do your Hefsek Tara, right? Hefsek Tara, Bidyeved, you could do it in the morning or any time during the day, assuming that you are clean, right? Do your Hefsek Tara any time during the day, Bidyeved, Litchad Chila, within an hour and a half before sunset, okay? We had spoken about the Moch Dachuk. The Moch Dachuk is put in the... Okay. The Moch Dachuk is put in... after sunset, if possible, remains inside of you until Tzeisa Kochavim. Obviously, that is a very long time. So the different opinions would be if you can leave it in starting at 14 minutes and on. Obviously, if you can't leave it in for that amount of time, 14 minutes is a very long time, actually, when you're leaving a bezika cloth inside of you. So however long you can leave it inside of you, great. We spoke about the Moch Dachuk, that it is something good to do. I didn't use the word litchatchila, because if you forget to do it, then obviously it doesn't discount a clean Hefsek Tara, and the next day is day one. Come nightfall is when you will switch into your white underwear, okay? So according to our model, Friday is then day one, and that's when you start your 7 clean days. Come Thursday, October 25th, the 9th of Cheshvan, is the 7th day of your 7 clean days. That night is when you will then go to the mikvah, assuming that everything worked out for you. Okay, during your 7 clean days, litchatchila, 2 bedikas a day, bedyeved, 1 bedika on day 1, 1 bedika on day 7. Those bedikos are not forgiving, day 1 and day 7. Yes.
Just, why did you count the 14th as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Because those are our period days.
Okay, but then you didn't count, because it was the evening, you didn't count Thursday, you counted Friday as day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Because the night starts the next day according to the Jewish calendar. So meaning, you're always, Thursday night is already part of Friday of day 1.
Right. But then how come the 14th on your period day wasn't also... Oh, because it counted by the one.
That counts as day one if you got your period during the daytime.
Daytime.
Well, so use a model of nighttime after we go through all of the...
Oh, so the night became day one. The 14th night became day one.
No, the 14th day becomes day one.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
The Moch Dachuk goes in... I'm sorry? So Moch Dachuk is the only checking that you can use a tampon for, which is what I stated on the first class. Okay. I don't recommend using a tampon for the Moch Dachuk, but it's something that you should know. Okay. I always say because it's okay to get it in, but getting it out is going to be quite painful. Okay. I recommend using a bezika cloth for your Moch Dachuk. All it is it goes inside of you and it remains inside of you. It goes in after sunset and it ideally would stay in until nightfall, until Tzeisa Kochavim. Meaning one, Yeah, I guess if you're estimating without like knowing, yeah, so then that would be probably
a
good. Yeah. Candlelighting, remember, is always earlier.
Right.
So, so if
like
you're just...
After
exactly. So if you're basing it, timing it like that, then that's what I would recommend.
So you have to do the bedika beforehand to make sure you're clean.
You do your hefsek tahara beforehand. Once your hefsek tahara is clean, that officially differentiates between your period days, right, and your seven clean days. The moftachuk is something, I guess we're going to call it as something extra. Because if you forget to do the moftachuk and your hefsek tahara was clean, then it doesn't disqualify your hefsek tahara. You still are able to start your seven clean days. The catch 22 with the moftachuk is that if your hefsek tahara was clean and the moftachuk comes out with a tameh color on it, it negates your hefsek tahara, and the next day you have to do another hefsek tahara. So it's a nice thing to do, but the flip side is that it can disqualify your hefsek tahara. That's number one. Number two, if somebody finds them too painful, then just ask your local rabbi, and the answer will always be, if they're too painful, then don't do them. That's number one. And then number two, if you find them to always be problematic, if you find the mochtachok always to be causing problems and they disqualify your hefsek tahara, then that also is going to be the answer of, then don't do them. Because that is correct. The hefsek tahara is the ultimate most important. You can't start your seven clean days without doing a hefsek tahara.
Okay.
But if you forget the mochtachuk, it does not disqualify your hefsek tahara that was clean.
Okay. And it's supposed to be in you from right after sunset
until it's dark outside, but correct. So there are different opinions as to if you could leave it in beginning from 14 minutes and on. I always say 14 minutes is a long time. So if you could do it for just even a few minutes, then that's okay also. The bottom line is, with all of these halachos and all these checkings, you're never supposed to hurt yourself. Like, never. So if something hurts you and it's uncomfortable, I think the moftachuk, it doesn't matter how long you're married for. I think that it's uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where you have to be in control of your body. You're never supposed to hurt yourself. So if you find it problematic and it hurts you, then ask a question, and then you won't have to do it. Or another example is, if you do your hefsek tahara in the morning, right, during the busy Eva time frame, because you know you're going to have a very busy day, and you know that you're clean the entire day, right, and you're not going to be home in time to do a moftachuk, you can rely on your hefsek tahara in the morning before you left for your day. And then still, that night, you'll switch into your white underwear, and the next day starts your seven clean days. So it's important to know the halacha of the mochtachuk, but it's also important to know that you have the relying on your earlier hefsek tahara in order to start your seven clean days. Was that clear?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so now let's talk about the first thing in calculating our period halachically. One thing to remember, halacha works very well with science. So whether you are controlling your period with hormones or you're not controlling your period with hormones, it actually coincides really well, the halachic anticipation. So the first one we're going to talk about is Yom HaChodesh, number 3 on the outline. So what is that? It's the actual day of the month. So if you got your period on the 28th of Tishrei, then the following month, on the 28th of Cheshvan, on your calendar, you're going to write down Chodesh. It's the exact day of the month. It always goes according to the Hebrew calendar. So on that day, the 28th of Cheshvan, write down Chodesh. If you had gotten your period during the day, your Chodesh is going to be during the day. What does daytime mean? Daytime means sunrise to sunset, those 12 hours of sunrise to sunset. Nighttime is sunset to sunrise. So on your Chodesh during the daytime, because you had gotten your period during the daytime, you will be required to do 2 bedikos, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Okay? Assuming that those bedikos come out clean, once your Chodesh ends, in our model, once the sun sets, you are good to be with your husband, assuming that your bedikos were clean. Okay? The only thing you will not do on your Chodesh is have relations. Nothing else applies. The harchakos don't apply. You can hug, you can kiss, you can sleep in the same bed. Everything is normal, but you would not have relations. Now, what happens if you forget to do those bedikos on your chodesh? If you have already been with your husband that night, okay, you'll remember next time. Obviously, you didn't get your period. But what happens if you remember, your chodesh passes, it's already nighttime or it's already the next day, and you say, oh, I didn't do those bedikos, I have not yet been with my husband, you would do a bedika before being together then. And obviously, if it's already nighttime and he's waiting for you, then you're just going to really hope that it comes out clean so that you can then be together. Okay? Good? Okay.
Did you talk yet about like little stains that might not really be...
That was last week's class. Oh, okay. That was last week's class. Okay? Exactly. Okay?
Can you show me the date one more time?
Sure.
So
if you had gotten your period during the daytime, your chodesh is during the daytime, sunrise to sunset. If you had gotten your period during the nighttime, and we'll count it out with a nighttime model, then your chodesh would fall out as sunset to sunrise. So obviously getting your period at night affects you much more than getting your period during the day. Because during the day, you're busy, you're at work, you're at school, you're out and about, right? Obviously if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, it would affect you much more when you're available to be together in the afternoon if you're going for a nap or something like that. But so if you have your period during the day on a regular daily basis, your chodesh really wouldn't affect you as much because it would only be during the daytime of sunrise to sunset. You can't have relations. Good?
And you would do a
bedika in the morning and a bedika in the afternoon. Assuming they come out clean, sunset, you can be together with your husband. Good? Okay. The next one we're going to talk about is number one, the Ona Bein Onis, otherwise referred to as Ona, okay? I'm going to here differentiate between Halacha and Chumra. Halacha, it's the 30th day from your period, from the onset of your period. On our model, if we got our period during the daytime on October 14th, the 28th of Tishrei, that is day one, count 30 days. It brings us to November 12th, which is the 27th of Cheshvan. It's the 30th day from our period. On that day, we will then write down Ona, okay? Because we had gotten our period during the daytime, the same applies. Our Ona is during the day, sunrise to sunset. Once again, no relations, that means, during those 12 hours. And we will also do two bedikos on that day between 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. Okay, same applies if you would forget your bedikos, the same thing applies, right? If you forget it and you've already been together, you'll remember next time. If you were not yet together, do a bedika before you are together. Good? That's halacha. Chumra is counting the ona as day 30 and 31. So in our model, that really wouldn't affect us because day 31 would fall out on our chodesh. But in a different model, it can actually mean that it's another day. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying do it. I'm saying that it's a personal decision. But that is the Chumra, day 30 and 31. Not or 31, but day 30 and 31. And the Halacha is day 30. Okay? To throw in another term over here, just so that you have this, you know, if you're reading in the future, Ona is used for something else also. Ona is also used as the 12 hours of sunrise to sunset and sunset to sunrise. So just so that you have that knowledge of, you can either be referring to Ona as your Ona Bein Onis, or you could be referring to Ona as the 12 hours of sunrise to sunset or sunset to sunrise as that time frame. Just for like FYI, okay? The last one we're going to talk about is Yom HaFlaga, okay? Yom HaFlaga, we need to make another period here. And the reason why is Yom HaFlaga is the amount of days between periods. This will obviously change each month, okay? Unless you are so set that you always know you're going to have, let's say, 28 days between periods. So for our model, let's put our next period on our Ona Bein Onis, which is November 12th, the 27th of Cheshvan. So if you want to just mark it down, you write down period, and we got it during the daytime, okay? Now, we don't have to count this out. We know that there's now 30 days between our periods because we got our period so conveniently on the 30th day on our Ona, okay? So now we can anticipate our third period, okay? Because we have two periods on our model. So now go to the third month. You can pull apart your calendars if you want to. And to count our haflaga, we are going to start from our second period to anticipate our third period. So we're going to count 30 days because that's our haflaga. Our interval is 30 days, okay? So to anticipate, I'm looking at December now. To anticipate our third period, we are going to go and count from November 12th, starting on November 12th, the 27th of Cheshvan, as day one. And we're going to count 30 days because that was our haflaga. The 30th day falls out on December 11th, the 27th of Kislev. Okay? Right? I counted right? Okay. So on December 11th, the 27th of Kislev, you can write down haflaga. Now, this is our very ideal, nice little package over here. Because our haflaga was 30 days, the other thing that you can write down on the 27th of Kislev is ona, because ona is 30 days. And if we go back, we had gotten our period on the 27th of Cheshvan. On the 27th of Kislev, you can also write down your chodesh. What an ideal, nice little package that your chodesh, your ona, and your haflaga, of course I did that on purpose, okay? Chodesh, ona, and haflaga all fall out on the same day, okay? And even better, if you got your period during the daytime, then it's sunrise to sunset, one vadika in the morning, one vadika in the afternoon, assuming everything is nice and clean and clear. Come nightfall, you can be together with your husband and carry on as usual. Okay? So that's how we anticipate an irregular period. Okay?
So when would you have gone to the mikvah? So the night...
Oh, we just didn't calculate that one out. Our second period, we didn't calculate that out. But if you want to have calculated it out... In the ideal situation, if you got your period on Monday,
yeah.
Day 5 would be Friday, and mikvah night would be the following Friday, the 23rd. November. November 23rd would have been mikvah night. Okay? Okay? So far, so good, guys? Okay. We did, and we could talk about that. Let's first finish this, and then if you want, we could do questions, being that this is the last topic. Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Okay. 100%. Thank you, Judy. There is a sign on the door, but okay. So if you are skipping, okay, very good question. If you are skipping, obviously your haflaga might be 90 days, okay? It might actually mean that you... Okay, let me backtrack a second, okay? Since we're using a three-month model over here, your ona and your chodesh will be...
You still have to keep those,
yeah. Correct. Even though you're not getting it, you still would have to do the bedikos even though you're not getting a period, okay? Those would pass, you're together with your husband, and your haflaga can be 100 days later, okay? It might even mean that you get a period before your haflaga actually happens, okay? Maybe, okay? If that were to happen, you would just cross it off your calendar, because if you got a period before your haflaga comes, then you don't have to do anything with a past haflaga, it's only the next haflaga. But yeah, you would then, it wouldn't, in actuality, if you're skipping, and it could always be that you're skipping different amounts per se, but it just means that your ona and your chodesh come and go, and see how your haflaga fits into it.
So let's say you skip, you go 3 months, and then you have your period. Do you write down that date again, and that hour, even though you know it's going to happen 3 months?
Yeah.
Probably? So you still have to keep the month later.
You still have to keep the month later just for... the halachic anticipation. So that you would. It would come and go, and that would be it.
And even if, let's say, you got pregnant and you knew, you would also keep it?
Say that one more time.
I remember that question that I had when I got pregnant. I was wondering whether I still have to keep the chodesh or not if I knew I was pregnant.
No, once you become pregnant, then that's something totally different. 100%.
So it's only with birth control. If you, even if you're
correct.
Pregnant, you keep the
100%. 100%. The chodesh and the ona would be something that would happen, like the ona 30 days later and the chodesh within that time frame. right? And then the Hufflaga would be something that would then be an extended amount of time.
Okay.
Okay? Was that clear? I don't know if that was clear.
So you didn't give me the first month.
Right.
You only get the first
correct.
Time.
Yeah. 100%. It's only based on that previous period. You don't have to then each month say, oh, well, I would have gotten it on the 27th of the month. No. It's only based on that 1 month, that previous period. Yeah.
If you're nursing and you're nursing clean, do you have to ever enter
nursing clean? What
meaning
is that?
You don't have your period. You don't have your period for like that. So
yeah.
Right after childbirth, okay, you have, I guess it's not period, but whatever it is, you know.
Right. Okay.
So after that, you don't then have to, once you're clean.
No, if you haven't gotten a period, then there's nothing to count from.
Okay. You're not counting from, like, when you stopped.
No. Right. Okay. No, because that's something different. That's from having a baby, and that's a different calculation.
Okay.
100%. So if you haven't gotten a period, then there's nothing to count from.
Okay.
So, which is the same thing. If you're constantly skipping a period, there's nothing to count from except from that first time.
And then when you start back again getting your period, let's say once you stop nursing,
then you can't count a haflaga until you get two periods.
Okay.
It would be the same thing with a kala. You have to have two periods to have a haflaga.
Okay.
Okay, that was clear?
Yeah. Huh.
Now, also, I don't know if we mentioned this or not. I'm sure we have. But just because we're talking about skipping periods, halachically, these laws apply if you get a period. Halachically, you don't have to get a period. So that's something that's personal, okay? You know, and obviously it's something important, especially for a kala. I mean, but we're all married, right? So for a kala, it's definitely important to, in developing your relationship, it really is independent on the person, and I guess it depends on how long you're married for, and it's dependent on the couple also, as to if you decide to just skip your period for who knows how long, okay? It's nice to not get a period, okay? Come on. Right? So it's just important to know halachically that these laws come into practice when you get a period. Okay? Halachically, you're not required to make yourself to get a period. Something to just keep in mind.
Okay, so let's say a kala knows, like, you take birth control like 3 months before.
Okay.
Like, there's birth control that you can take, I think, that stops you from getting a period.
Right.
So do you have to do haflaga before you marry?
Yes. You don't have to say anymore.
Yeah.
Before you get married,
yeah.
Even if you don't get a period, before you get married, you are required to, you are, not haflaga, hefsek tara.
Okay.
You are required to do a hefsek tara and count 7 clean days in order to go to the mikvah before marriage, okay? Whether you have a period or not. Okay? Good? Plus 7 clean days.
And the one where you stick the cloth in you?
Correct. And then 7 clean days. And then you could go to the mikvah before you get married. Correct.
And you're really supposed to go the day of?
No. You have leeway. If you're getting married on a Sunday here in Baltimore, they will allow you to start going to the mikvah on a Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yes. Assuming that you finished your 7 clean days. Okay? But there is leeway. You don't have to go to the mikvah the morning of getting married.
And even if you are on birth control, you still have to do the whole...
Correct.
No bleeding, no nothing.
Correct. Even somebody who already went through menopause would have to count 7, have siktara, count 7 clean days, go to the mikvah before getting married, even if they don't get a period.
Okay?
Okay?
So you consider tumen.
Right. It's just the process of cleansing yourself. Remember we spoke about it, not to sound corny. I think it was last week that I probably had said it. Not to sound, or maybe it was the class before, I don't remember. But it was the first class. Not to sound corny, but the whole point of mikvah, we physically cleanse ourselves to the best of our ability because we are spiritually cleansing ourselves. Okay? Okay. So that brings us to that we spoke about how we halachically anticipate an irregular period. The Chodesh, the Ona Beinonis, and the Yom Haflaga. Okay? So now that we know those three times for halachically anticipating an irregular period, just in case somebody is like super special and can have an halachically regular period, all you need to know for a halachically regular period is Yom Haflaga. Okay? Yom Haflaga is the only thing that you have to calculate for a regular period. But remember, it's not just knowing the day that you're getting your period, it's knowing a time frame. But it can happen for people, okay? So if you're on the monthly birth control, for example, you're taking the pill and it's every 28 days, just remember, it works out really well on the English calendar, but it doesn't necessarily fit with the Hebrew calendar. In order for it to be halachically regular, the magic number of three consecutive periods, it has to be exactly the same. If that happens, you are considered halachically regular. Once again, in order to break a regular cycle, it has to be broken three times. So if you only miss one period, like if only one doesn't fall out exactly the same time, it doesn't break your halachically regular period until it happens three times that you're breaking it. Okay? Yes?
Three times the same Yom HaChodesh, the same Yom HaLevi, the same month.
Right. Meaning it just has to be exactly... Yeah, it's hard. And time frame. Remember that the timing also. So it works really well on the English calendar, but it doesn't necessarily fit with the Hebrew calendar, which is a problem. But you never know. You might be lucky.
To break it, does it have to be three consecutive?
Yeah, you would have to. It would have to be three, correct. But if it's just once, it wouldn't break it.
Then it went back to the regular.
Then it wouldn't break it. Even twice wouldn't break. Correct. And even twice wouldn't break it. Only three would break it. Three to make it regular and three to make it not regular. Okay? Okay, the last thing for Vestos, letter C, Onas or Zarua, which is a Chumrah. Okay? Onas or Zarua applies to the Haflaga. Okay? So let's talk about what it is for a minute. We said that when you are counting your Chodesh, Ona and Haflaga, but now we're specifically talking about your Haflaga. If you got your period during the daytime, then it's those 12 hours of sunrise to sunset on your Haflaga that you would not be able to have relations. Only relations, everything else is permitted. The Onas or Zeruah is a Chumrah. I'm going to say that about 10 more times. It is a Chumrah, so it's a personal decision between you and your husband. It is adding on another 12 hours. It is adding on another Ona, using that term now as the 12 hours, adding on another Ona prior to the Haflaga, which means that your Haflaga is now 24 hours. So if your Haflaga falls out during the daytime, then you start counting your Haflaga from the night before. So it's actually making it 24 hours, sunset to sunset. So if your Haflaga falls out on a Monday, starting Sunday night at sunset, you won't have relations until Monday night sunset. Okay? So that really affects you more so if your days fall out consecutively. What if everything falls out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So it just means that you're together, not together. Is that clear? Meaning, if unless you have that one little neat package that we had made in our model, it's a personal decision between you and your husband, obviously, to see how that works out for you, okay? In a situation like this, you know, I always add in, if you are trying to have children, it can mean another night of not being together. So that's something to take into account, okay? But it only applies with the Haflaga. Now, switching our model for a minute, if we had gotten our period at night, then the Chodesh Haflaga and Ona are all nighttime, okay, of sunset to sunrise. Obviously, that means getting your period at night affects you a lot more because it means that for those night times, maybe it might only be one night, but it could be three nights that you are then not going to have relations on top of your 12 minimum days of your Nida time. Okay, so if you could get a daytime period, it's in your best interest. Yes.
If you wake up in the morning and you see your period, do you assume it happened at night, or you don't?
Well, no. It's when you see that you got your period.
Okay.
So, if you wake up, just make sure that it's daytime. Okay. Any other questions? Good. This was clear. Okay. So that's how we halachically anticipate our period. Okay. So this concludes Vestos, okay? So now we have, in actuality, gone through each of the different parts of the halacha of Taharas HaMishpacha, okay? Does anybody want to ask any questions?
Can you speak about why a husband and Kala need to separate after the first night?
We did not speak about that, but that's Dam Basulim, it's virgin blood. I only didn't.
Uterus.
I'm sorry?
It's not uterine blood.
you are 100% correct. However, that's the halacha. Virgin blood is going to make you a nida. The difference is that you don't have a 5 minimum days. You have 4 days, unless you get your period. Okay? But it would be 4 days plus your 7 clean days. But halachically, virgin blood will make you a nida for the first time that you're together.
So, if somebody doesn't have virgin blood, they would have suffering?
If it's the first time, that's a tricky question. If it is the first time that you are together, then... If it's the first time that you're together with your husband, then you still would have to separate. Okay? But, correct. Correct. Right. Then you still would have to. But if it's not the first time that you're with somebody, then you would not become a nida.
Is that like a second marriage?
Correct. Okay? And you asked me a question Friday night. Going to the mikvah on Friday nights. So we did speak about that. I think we have time now, if you want me to answer it. 100%. I hear you. So I can tell you, going to the mikvah on time is something that is so important on so many levels. I think that just why delay, unless you're not walking distance, there's a difference between not walking distance and just being far from the mikvah. There's a difference.
But, like, a lady walking.
No, and I'm going to tell you that whenever I'm teaching, I would rather, and this is going on the recording, I would rather your husband come home earlier from shul and walk you to the mikvah. Don't walk by yourself. Not here in Baltimore and not anywhere.
It doesn't work when you have kids, though.
It's challenging. 100% it's challenging. Yes. And as much as this is supposed to be a personal private mitzvah, then ask a neighbor to go with you.
Yeah.
Or have your husband go with you and a neighbor watch the kids. You know what? The bottom line is, when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah,
I really believe in that. And why would you delay it by a night? Right. If you had to delay it by a night that you were not walking distance to the mikvah, then in that scenario, when your seventh day ends, you would switch into colored underwear and go the next night. And no badikos, because then that's day 8. There's no such thing as day 8. However, I will tell you, go on time.
So
go on time.
You on the Friday night, a lot of times people, like, when you're there, people ask you where you live, and then you'll walk home with someone.
100%.
Like, oh,
but you should never put yourself in a situation where you're walking by yourself at night to the mikvah, because it's just not the best area.
Yeah.
But no. But... And if you are controlling your period, then control it that you're not going on a Friday night. But in regards to preparations on a Friday night, then you could do all of your preparations Friday morning. Okay? And in regards to a Motzei Shabbos, we had spoken about, you are given the option. If it's more relaxing for you to do your preparations for Motzei Shabbos mikvah night, you can do your preparations on Friday morning. Okay? And the reason behind that is so that you don't rush after Shabbos to do your preparations. It happens to be the mikvah does not open. They hold 72 minutes. You have time after Shabbos to do your preparations if that's easier for you. It depends. Everybody's different as to what they find easier, doing it on Erev Shabbos or doing it on Motzei Shabbos. So you have that option. Okay? Yeah.
Good question about B'dikah cloth. In terms of the 7 clean days, when you're checking and there's something that comes off, is there... With terms of colors, like, do you always have to send it in, or is there times that, like, you could say, this is clearly not red, this is more like just discharge?
So I'll tell you, I can tell you that if it is, and this I feel confident telling you, if it is that yellow urine color, that's going to be kosher. Reds obviously ask a shayla on, and browns ask a shayla on, but the good news, just to keep in the back of your mind, browns most likely are kosher colors. However, I have to tell you to ask a shayla on it, because pink is in that red family. You have to ask. Definitely ask. Browns are the ones that are definitely more clear-cut, that you can hope that you're going to get a kosher answer. But you're always better asking. And I really believe it doesn't matter how long you're married for. I think that you're just better off asking. This is a serious halacha, in the sense that you don't, God forbid, want to be together when you're not allowed to be together, because... On the D'Oraisa level, that's pretty severe, okay?
Does it matter how big it is, or if it's any...
B'dikah cloth, it doesn't matter what the sizing is. it's the white underwear where if it's smaller than the size of a penny, even if it's blood red, and you know that it's smaller than the size of a penny, that's kosher. On a batika cloth, it could be a tiny speck. But if it's of a tame color, if it's red, like blood red, then you're going to have to start counting again. But remember, if something happens on a batika cloth that's tame, you're not starting 5 days again. You're starting your 7 clean days again. You'd have to do another hefsek tara and begin your 7 clean days again. Is that clear? Okay. Now, I'm sure I've said it, but if I haven't, then I'm going to say it again. I'm always more than happy. I know asking shailas, I have it easy. Asking shailas can be challenging, you know, having to show your panties or your batika cloth to the rabbi. So if you're asking my husband shailas, I'm more than happy. He has no problem answering them with a woman just calling him directly, but not every woman is comfortable with that. So I am more than happy to be that middle person. I'll give you my cell phone number. You can text me, call me, just tell me that I'm leaving it, you know, through your mail slot, and I'll have it checked for you, and it can be totally anonymous, and I'll get back to you. My only thing that I tell, and I'm sure that I've said this already, if you are dropping something off at my house, not in a clear bag. I do have children, and they are getting older. Okay? Okay? Any other questions? Good? Okay. Yes. And the first class I will make sure to record again, and I'll make sure that it actually works. Okay? All right. And if you have questions in the future, then please feel free at any time to call me. All right? Good.
Thank you.
My pleasure.